Before we read this scripture here, I would like to ask you to join me as we make our confession. And the words are on the screen. If you believe it, we invite you to follow along with us as we declare our confidence in the Lord, of His ability to speak to us by His Spirit through His Word today. So if you're ready, would you join me as we make this confession? This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. God's Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. By His truth, I am set free. Free indeed, I'm ready to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. My mind is alert. My heart is open. My spirit is receptive. I'll never be the same. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Lord bless you. Before we read this verse, one of the most important truths that we can learn and grow in is the fear of the Lord. And I'm talking about a truth from cover to cover, from Genesis to Revelation, the fear of the Lord. And typically when we hear that word, fear, it's associated with something negative. But I want to read this scripture to you from Psalm 85, 9, and then go into it. The Bible says this, Psalms 85 and verse 9, says, surely His, speaking of God, surely His salvation is nearer to those who fear Him, that glory may dwell in our land. The salvation of the Lord is near those who fear Him. So what's the opposite truth? If we don't fear Him, we're not close. So we need to develop that. If we have a picture of the website, maybe that the home screen there, I'll just call your attention just because I want to do a quick review. But if you didn't hear these two messages from last week or 2 weeks ago, if you don't, it's okay. I'll just give it to you. It's clmfamily.org. It's the initials of the church, CLM. And the word family.org. It's in your bulletin. But there's a link on there that has messages, and you can go back and listen to them for however long. But 2 weeks ago, I shared a message on how the fear of God gives us a proper view of God and then a proper response to God. And so let me give you just a little definition of that Hebrew word fear, because it can mean to be afraid, but that's not all it means when in relation to the Lord. So the fear of the Lord also means to be in awe of Him and to reverence Him. So if the fear of the Lord then gives us a proper view of God, we really see Him and we begin to know Him better and grow in Him and we see Him for who He really is, not just one aspect, but the entire who He is, and it brings us into His presence. So when we say how awesome He is and we give reverence to Him, it draws us. The fear of the Lord is not to push us away. That's a wrong fear. The fear of the Lord draws us to Him in reverence. It draws us to Him in worship and holy awe of Him, because we recognize He's awesome and He is great and He's perfect and He is greatly to be praised. So it gives me a proper view of God and a proper response to God. I can know Him as my Father. And salvation there is, of course, deliverance from sin and death, but it can also apply to earthly enemies. And that psalm was written in relation to some earthly battles that went on, and the Lord is my salvation, and He helps me in those battles. And then last week, we looked at, 2 weeks ago, it was more in our relation to God. Last week, it was more in our relationship towards self, as we talked about how the personal blessings of the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord leads to life, if you were here, maybe you remember that. And there were two life-giving blessings that are associated with the fear of the Lord, and they are that we can have access to divine wisdom and to divine wellness. Wisdom and wellness. Wisdom, living life God's way, and wellness. Wellness, I want to emphasize this. Wellness is Christ-likeness, because Jesus was well. He was well in His emotions. He was well in His thought life. He was well spiritually, and He was well physically. And the more we grow in Christ-likeness, the more we grow in wisdom. And the more we grow in wellness. And that's important for the message today, because it is growing in Christ's likeness and growing in that wellness that helps us relate better to one another. So it's the fear of the Lord in relation to God, relation to self, and then to others. And if you want to write this verse down, if you're still there in Psalm, I'll give it to you. It's 1 Peter 2:17, and we can put it on the screen. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 17 says, honor all people, love the brotherhood, that's speaking of just Christian, you know, brothers and sisters, fear God, and honor the king. So I just kind of put it in a little nutshell today. Here's the message: fear God and honor everyone. Fear God and honor everyone. Would you say that with me? Fear God and honor everyone. This has just been so, I won't say heavy, but strong in my heart. Maybe that's a better word. Strong in my heart of how I need to grow in Christ's likeness. And as I grow in Christ's likeness, then it helps me in my relationship with others. Because we're human. And the fact of the matter is, as followers of Jesus, we will not agree with everyone, and we should not agree with everyone. As followers of Jesus, we're going to still have conflicts because we're human, and we deal with humans. And so we're going to have conflicts. We're going to be times when we are hurt, when we are angry. I would say like this. Our association with Jesus is going to cause some people to not like us. Some people will hate us just because we follow Jesus and we believe his word is true. So here's the issue. As we live in that holy awe and reverence for God, though, it helps us recognize the value of every person. That's what honor is that because I fear God, I give honor to you because you are a fellow human being. I'm in no way above you, better than you, and we may disagree passionately, but I will give honor to you because you are created in the image of God just as I am. So fear God and honor everyone. See, I need to be reminded of this regularly. Because just even if no other area, the political realm, of the news and everything, because those issues are like passionate to us. And we can disagree, but I want to be careful not to just dishonor people I disagree with, but to fear God and honor. I want to let you, if we can put this on the screen, 1 Peter 2:17 also in the ISV says it like this. Let me read it to you. 1 Peter 2:17 says, honor everyone, and then the tense of that word is keep on loving the community of believers. Keep on fearing God and keep on honoring the King. So fear God and honor everyone. Would you read that verse out loud if we have that on the screen? Would you read it with me where it says honor everyone? Ready? Honor everyone. Keep on loving the community of believers, fearing God and honoring the King. And so this morning, I just want to take just a little time to emphasize two ways that we can live this truth out. How can we live this out? Okay, so the Lord says we're to honor everyone, we're to fear him, honor the king, love our brothers and sisters. So I just worded it like this, two ways that we can practically live it out if you want to write it down. Number one, I want to put this scripture up. Let me give you the scripture on this one first. It's Leviticus chapter 25 and verse 17. Then I'll tell you what it is. Leviticus 25, 17, and the Bible says this, therefore, you shall not oppress one another. That word also means to mistreat. So you shall not mistreat one another, but you shall fear your God, for I am the Lord your God. Do you see how our relationship with the Lord by the fear of God can help us not to oppress or mistreat others? So the first point, if you want to write it down, is just simply this: treat every person honorably. Treat every person honorably. But I don't like them. Treat every person honorably. But they're wrong. Treat every person honorably. But I'm angry. Treat every person honorably. And that's just, again, based on our reverence. It all comes back to the Lord. Always comes back to the Lord. So treat every person again. How do we, if we're going to grow in Christ's likeness, how are we going to grow? Somebody help me. I'm just like I am right now. I don't want to be at this spiritual growth level a year from now, 5 years from now. What's going to change? How am I going to be different a year from now? Rick? Prayer. It always comes out of fellowship with our Heavenly Father through Jesus. So prayer, Sean.
Walking in the Word.
Okay, obedience to God's Word. Walking in the Word. So prayer and God's Word. What else to help me grow more like Jesus? Anything else? What did we just do? Worship. Worship. It brings us into His presence, keeps us close. It's always that, what about one another? Fellowship with one another, sharing our faith. Those are ways that's not how I become a Christian, but once I put my faith in Jesus as Lord, it's how I grow as a Christian. And then as I grow as a Christian, it helps me. Lord knows I need this. I need this. I want to grow like the Lord, and I want to represent Him faithfully. So treat every person honorably. And Joseph is a great example. It's not just that we're to, you know, we don't mistreat others because we fear God. We're to honor others. Just as a quick reference, and I'll give you the scripture. I'll read it to you in a minute in Genesis 42. But if you're not familiar with what happened to Joseph, his 10 older half-brothers, they had different moms than Joseph, sold him as a slave to another country. They trafficked their younger brother. He goes as a slave to Egypt from where they were, and a man buys him, and he serves this man faithfully and was thrown into prison for a crime he did not commit. Then he was forgotten for years. And in the Lord's timing, in the Lord's way, the Lord made Joseph prime minister of Egypt. There was a great famine all throughout that region. And Joseph's 10 brothers came to Egypt looking for food to eat because they heard there was bread in Egypt. Now they come before Joseph, the last person in the world that they expect to be sitting on that throne was their little brother they trafficked years ago. And of course, he had grown. They didn't recognize him, but he recognized them, and here they are. Oh, now. You talk about a big get even. He could have made them pay dearly. But he rose above it. How in the world did he do that? Let me read it to you. Genesis chapter 42, verse 17, if you want to just follow along. Genesis 42, 17. Now, he still had the emotion. And the Bible says he put them all together in prison 3 days. He was still working through some of that hurt, probably, wasn't he? Verse 18, and Joseph said, now notice what he said to them the third day, do this and live, for I fear God. You see how that came into play there? How he rose above that? He had a chance. He said, y'all are going to live, but do this because I fear God. Verse 19, if you're honest men, let one of your brothers be confined in your prison house, but you go carry grain for the famine for your houses. Bring your youngest brother back to me so that your words will be verified and you shall not die. And they did so. Isn't that something? He rose above it because he had right relationship with God. Brothers and sisters, I don't need to tell you, we live in a world of just great dishonor and disrespect, don't we? That's why I'm saying I need this, because I don't want to be caught up in that. And it's easy to do emotionally. It's easy to do if we dwell on it in our thoughts. I look at it like the fear of God is an anchor for me, that keeping that proper view of God and reverence for Him, being in awe of Him, anchors me back to the Lord. It anchors me back in His ways, the ways of God, when I'm tempted to get off and to do something else that would be dishonoring as a testimony to Jesus. Fear God and honor everyone. Would you say that with me? Fear God and honor everyone. Let me read you this one more scripture, and then I'll ask you to turn to Psalms 119. But if you want to write this down, it's in Romans 3. Romans chapter 3, beginning in verse 13. Would you just listen to how this culture is described and how people are described? It says, Romans 3:13, their throat is an open tomb, like death comes out of their mouth. With their tongues, they practice deceit. We're in a very dishonest culture too, aren't we? They practice deception, deceit. And he goes on and he says, the poison of asps is under their lips. It's something that stings, it hurts. Verse 14, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. And then notice, there is no fear of God before their eyes. You see, the further we move from the fear of God as a society, the more deception, the more violence, the more bloodshed we're going to see, because it's the fear of the Lord. Remember that first psalm? It says that salvation of near those who fear Him, that glory may dwell in our land. So that's why I believe it's so important. Do you see how important it is for us as Christians to live this out? We can't expect the world to fear God if we don't. So we need to have that proper fear and reverence for God. But I want to make sure I come across accurately, because the fear of God is associated with loving God. Do you know that? God said, fear Him, love Him, and walk in His ways. So the fear of the Lord is linked to love and obedience of God, because He first loved us. That's why He's so awesome to us, because He could have written us off. He could have written us off in sin and said, I'll start over. But He didn't. He loved us so much, He sent Jesus as a sacrifice to suffer and die. Jesus experienced hell in our place on the cross, so that we could not only be forgiven, so that we could be free from sin, free from the penalty of sin, have His made righteous before a holy God, His Holy Spirit live in us, help us to live this life and be with Him forever in the life to come. That's because He loved us. The fear of the Lord is associated with seeking the Lord and trusting Him. So it all comes back together. It all comes back to that relationship. So how do we live it out? First, treat every person honorably. And second, fellowship with believers faithfully. So treat every person honorably and fellowship with believers faithfully. And I want to, if you're in Psalms, if you'll turn to Psalms 119, I'd like to read one verse there. Psalms 119. Fear God and honor everyone. Treat every person honorably. Fellowship with believers faithfully. We treat every person honorably in our shared humanity. But those who have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus and who have been born again and indwelt by His Holy Spirit, we have a special spiritual bond together. So we honor everyone, but we're to love our brothers and sisters in the Lord. And Jesus said that our love for one another is a testimony to the world that we're really His disciples, that we really are Christians. It's also a testimony to us. It's our love for one another that is a testimony to us that we have passed from death to life and that we're really Christian. Because if I don't love my brothers and sisters, I need to check my heart and check my walk with the Lord. So He says, this is what the psalmist says in this Psalms 119, verse 63. Psalm 119, 63, I am a companion, and notice these two requirements basically, or conditions. I am a companion of all. Would you say all? All who fear You and of those who keep Your precepts or Your commandments. So we shouldn't limit our fellowship as Christians to those who, you know, just our I would say a doctrinal creed. You know, you have to see the gifts of the Holy Spirit exactly like me, or I'm not going to speak. Or you're not as spiritual as I am if you don't agree on all the details of the second coming of Jesus. No, no, no. And we're not to limit our fellowship to, I'm not against the most denominations. We're non-denominational. That doesn't make us any better than anyone. I just wanted to say, hey, we're Christian. And if here's where we unite. We unite around the proper fear and reverence of God and keeping His commandments. If we unite there, we're united. And that's how we fellowship. That's the requirement. Not that we see everything eye to eye, but that we fear God and keep His commandments. That's the requirement of fellowship. So we fellowship with believers faithfully. That word companion, I looked it up. It has the idea of being an associate and a partner, a friend. So I'm a companion. You may worship in a different congregation, but there was a song that said, you're my brother, you're my sister, so take me by the hand. Together we will walk, and we're going to overcome, but we're brothers and sisters because of what Jesus did for us. He brings us together. You know, the fear of God is one characteristic of a healthy church. Let me read this to you from Acts chapter 9 and verse 31. It's found in the New Living Translation. If you want to write it down, it says this. The church then had peace throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria, and it became stronger as believers lived in the fear of the Lord. Isn't that something? The churches became stronger as they lived in the fear of the Lord, and with the encouragement of the Holy Spirit, it also grew in numbers. Living in the fear of the Lord is living in reverence of Him, living in awe of Him. Living in the fear of God is recognizing, being aware of His Holy Spirit, of His continual presence. I never faced anything in this life by myself. Whether it's a temptation, whether it's being upset, angry, hurt, whether it's being confused, crying, I never faced anything in this life because God's Holy Spirit is in me. The Spirit of my Father is within me, and if I'm more, it helps me to be aware of His presence. It helps me. It gives me grace. It helps me to deal with situations that just come up in life. And living in the fear of God is living in, it's doing all that we do to the glory of God. And as we fellowship together in prayer, as we fellowship together in worship, as we fellowship together in serving God, as we fellowship together in the Word and in sharing our faith, I've seen it. I'm telling you, it, first of all, it helps us to grow more like Christ. But then it helps us grow together. There is something, I remember the first time this really stood out to me was in Hawaii. I went on a mission trip there. You might think that wasn't a mission trip, but it was. 3 weeks with Youth with a Mission. And at the time, I don't know if they're still doing this or not, but you could go, if you gave them 3 weeks of work, you would work Monday through Friday, like, you know, 8 to 5, whatever it was. They'd give you a place to stay. They would feed you, and you'd have weekends and evenings off. You had to fly to get there and fly home. So at that time, our daughter, you know, was born in December. This was July, I think, 7 months old. I'm not exaggerating, I don't think. I cried from Hopewell to Honolulu. And because I missed her, and I was, and of course, I miss Kim too, but we were just like, here's a newborn baby, and I, you know, and I'm being ripped away. Honestly, when we got there, I remember one of the men with Youth with a Mission saying, you know, it's about relationships. It's not just getting work out of it, it's building relationships with people. And I, in my mind, I will confess to you, I was thinking, yeah, right, I just want to get to work, get these 3 weeks over with, and get home. But people were there from all over the world. I mean, there's Polynesian islands and over in Korea and Germany and Europe, Switzerland, all over the place. And I saw it. As we came together, we didn't know each other, but as we worshiped together, as we prayed together, as we served together, again, the Lord knows this is true. When we left the big island, I was crying because I had bonded to especially some of those brothers there from around the world in those 3 weeks together. Don't you see why the devil wants to keep us from praying together and worshiping together and serving together? Because there's something supernatural God does when we do that. So it's treat every person honorably, but fellowship with believers faithfully. Brothers and sisters, we need each other in these last days. So fear the Lord and honor everyone. I close with this. Last book of the Old Testament, the book of Malachi. Malachi chapter 3. And just wanted to read just a few words because I want you to see the contrast between what people were saying about God, what people were saying about the proud, and the wicked. And then notice what God said. So Malachi chapter 3, I'll begin reading in verse 13. Malachi chapter number 3, verse 13. God is speaking and He's talking to His people. And He says, your words have been harsh against me, says the Lord. And you say, what have we spoken against you? So what were their words that God said, that's talking hard about me, that's being harsh against me. Here's what they were saying in verse 14. You have said, it is useless to serve God. Isn't that something? If people think it's useless to serve God, and He goes on in that verse, and what profit is it that we've kept His ordinance and we've walked as mourners before the Lord? Obviously, their hearts weren't right to begin with, But they were saying, it's no, what difference does it make whether you serve God or not? The Lord was saying, those are harsh words against me. It's good to serve me. I'll bless you. I'll reward you not only in this life, but forever. And then he goes on, he says this, just in verse 15. So now, because they had that attitude, we'll call the proud blessed. They're the ones who are really blessed, or the proud. And those who do wickedness, they're the ones who are raised up. They can just tempt God and go free. So they were thinking, it's no use serving God. It's useless. The proud are the ones who are blessed. And the wicked, they're the ones who are getting away with everything. If you go to chapter 4 and verse 1, just a few verses down, here's what God says about the wicked and the proud. For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, and all the proud, yes, all who do wickedly will be stubble, and the day which is coming shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts. So that doesn't sound like they're the ones blessed, does it? Doesn't sound like they're getting away with everything. But sometimes we just have that limited earthly view, and God says, you need a bigger perspective. Now, let me close with this. I want you to see the contrast between those who were saying, it's useless to serve God, proud or blessed, wicked, get away, and what God says in chapter 3, verse 16. Right between those verses that I just read and skipped, we read these words, Malachi 3:16. Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. Think about that. Every time we fellowship together as believers, of course God hears everything, but it's like he's tuning his ear in. He's leaning in on the conversation, joining in. And the Bible says the Lord listened and heard them, so a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on his name. That's important. If we really have that reverence and awe of God, it will lead us to dwell on him, to meditate on his goodness and who he is. That's the meditating on his name. And verse 17, they shall be mine, those who fear the Lord, they shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on the day that I make them my jewels. That means my special treasure. You fear the Lord, you're his special treasure. And the Lord's listening to our conversation, and he's writing our names in his book. And he says, I will spare them on that day as a man spares his own son who serves him. Then you'll again discern, then you'll know between the righteous and the wicked, between the one who serves God and the one who does not serve him. Would you think about this? You don't owe me an answer. Even those of you online, which group are you in? Are you in the group that's saying, it's useless to serve God? Or are you in the group that fears God? And you're speaking to one another in fellowship. Obviously, if you're here, I have an idea which group you're in. But if you're not sure, today is the day to find out. Today is the day to be sure. As you prayed, Brother Smitty, when you opened, no one can come unless God draws him. And if the Holy Spirit is drawing you today to believe, yes, I do believe God's word, that's really what it comes down to. Will you believe God's word? And then will you receive his love? Will you believe that sin has separated you from a holy God and there is a judgment to come? But believe that you are so loved, God punished his son in your place and took your judgment so that you can be free. Our part is simply when God's Spirit draws us, yes, I need the Lord, is to simply say yes and believe in our heart that Jesus not only died for our sins, but he came back to life on the third day and confess him as Lord. And we do that, we're forgiven, we are freed from the penalty of sin, heaven is our home, and we begin walking with our Father right here on earth. Thank God. Fear God and honor everyone. I want to encourage you today, please, keep coming back to this truth. Please keep coming back to this truth, reverence, holy awe of God, because we need that. We need to be anchored in that truth, because again, we're going to be hit with every emotion, deception. We can justify, Joseph could have justified anything, but he chose to respond godly because of his relationship with the Lord. We can do the same. The Holy Spirit is within us. That's right. He's a restrainer, and he helps us overcome evil with good. Amen. Fear God and honor everyone. I'd like to just close in prayer this morning and just ask you to, would you just go before the Lord and just ask him today, Lord, where Can I live out this truth? Maybe I have to treat every person honorably as a representative and ambassador for you, Lord, and to fellowship faithfully with my brothers and sisters, not just expect them to do for me, but how can I minister to them and bless them too? Would you just take a moment right now as the worship team comes and just, let's just focus on the Lord and let him speak to our heart right now. And whatever you sense the Lord leading, would you just take care of business? Just believe him, receive his love, fear him, reverence him, and then love him back. If you agree with this, would you pray this after me? Would you say, Father, I desire to fear you, to be in awe of you, to revere you, and to love you. I ask you to help me in my weakness. I believe your word. I receive your love. I receive your grace. And I receive your strength. Now help me to live this out with those around me, to glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen. Could we stand together as we sing this?